Yeah, amazing. And so we're good. I'm on up there, I think. Right, Steve? Good? All right, great. Thank you. How about our, you know, standing up in front of anybody playing an instrument, worshiping is really a challenge. And so I was super impressed with our worship team. Enjoyed them tremendously. Can we just give them some love? Let them know. Yeah, really good. Excellent. Okay. Yeah, we good then? Super honored to be here. I really couldn't wait. I was glad that when I finally got the schedule that I was going to do that, I was going to be with you guys the last night that I would be here. So this is, to me, not only a privilege, but an honor and a thrill. Absolutely love your age group. Our God is incredibly amped about everything that's going on with your lives, what's going on in your world. I mean, he's just jacked about it. I get to hear him. I get to understand it. I get to feel it, and all that's just amazing. I just want you to know about that. Tonight, I really want to do what I love doing most, is taking us into this incredible biblical history. There are some colleges I go to, and they say to me, you know, Dr. J, this book is really not relevant to us and to this world. And I never argue with them, but I say, I got to tell you that I differ completely. This is the most relevant book that we have, especially in the day that we're living in. This is packed with young people, teenagers, 1 8-year-old that starts his life in kingdom, that not only changed their own life's destiny, but the destiny of their families, the destiny of their nation, and the destiny of the world. I believe I'm talking to those same young people tonight, set to change history, set to make history, set to alter the course not only of your own lives, but of the lives of our world, your generation, the generations following you as well. So I want to tonight take us there. You'll know where I'm going as soon as I begin. And I want, as I love doing, let us experience it. I want you to feel it with me a little bit. I want you to just, not simply words on a page, but to get an understanding and a sense of what's going on. And these incredible young people in a moment of time that most people just simply give up and think there's no way or no hope at all. But these young people, like I believe with you, and they will do something that's just incredible, supernatural, almost beyond belief. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for tonight. As I've already expressed to them, but I just want to express to you, thank you for letting me be a part of this incredible younger generation. I know you're stoked about them, and I'm as stoked about them as you are. Man, these young people are amazing already. Only you could be dreaming of what they can be. Only you could have vision for what they are going to be. Only you could do such a thing. Only you, Lord, when maybe the world looks and or we look at it ourselves and think, well, I don't really know what I'm going to do. I don't really know what's really going on. But, Lord, I know this about you. You've already making plans for these young people. It's not small stuff either. It's great stuff. It's not thin stuff. It's mighty stuff. Amazing things. They're here tonight. But I pray for the revelation of Jesus Christ to be personal tonight. And of this kingdom that you have given us, not just me, all of us in this room. It's a kingdom that cannot be removed. It is a kingdom that has no limitations. It is the most powerful kingdom the world has ever known and will ever know. Father, I thank you for that. Let it be ours tonight. Jesus' name, amen. The date is 605 BC. The world power are the Babylonians. Only 4 years earlier, they destroyed the great Assyrian Empire. Nineveh was their capital. Do you remember? Jonah went there almost 100 years earlier. King Nebuchadnezzar is the king. They are a great conquering nation. The prophet Habakkuk will describe them. They are fierce and mighty. They do not fear kings. They do not fear princes. Their army is so vast that the prophet Habakkuk will describe it as they come out of the west heading to the east. They literally draw up the east wind. Their armies are greater and larger than the counting of the sands of the seashore, is how he describes it. They fear no one. Nebuchadnezzar is moving. He's moving east, and he's going to come to Egypt first, and Egypt is not really that great of a power, but Pharaoh Necho will meet him, and in only days, this great Babylonian army will destroy the Egyptian army, and they'll move north. I got to have you see this. You see, this is the southern part of Israel. It's really called Judah. It's two tribes, Benjamin and Judah. The northern tribe was, the northern part was called Israel, even though the whole nation was. They had 10 tribes. They were taken away, deported by the Assyrians over 112 years ago. Here was now these people of God. I mean, they had a history like no other people. They knew about what he did with Moses and the Egyptians hundreds of years earlier. They knew the greatness of their God, but they began to turn from him. I don't understand it, man. It's amazing in our history how the people of God can become disinterested with him, no longer trust him, trust other nations, trust other gods. I don't know how it happens, but it does. There's a whole history of it. They have never seen an enemy break their border. The Lord's always protected them. Nebuchadnezzar comes and he breaks the borders of Judah. I want you to just get a sense of this. No one knows he's coming, really. And what Nebuchadnezzar and the army would do is they would break down the doors of every house they came to, from the lower parts of Hebron all the way to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem, and they literally would drag out of the homes all of the teenagers. The Nebuchadnezzar and his army, the Babylonians, would come for the young people. They would look to see who was special. That's why they're going to grab four of them that we know. I'm going to talk about three tonight. Think about it, man. Could you imagine? I mean, that would be like right now, this, our doors being busted down here, and they come in with such weaponry, we could do nothing about it. And they begin taking you out. I mean, fathers and mothers had to be weeping. Grandmothers and grandfathers must have been weeping. The kids must have been, the teenagers must have been going like, what's going on? I mean, we're just eating dinner. Now we're being dragged. They literally chained them. The Babylonians had their own language. They couldn't even speak it. They will take four, we know. 13 or 14 at the oldest, 15 years old. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Think about it. They're in chains, leg irons, hand irons. Thousands of them are just taken, and they're hooked together, and they're leading them back to Babylon. I can only imagine what these young people are thinking. I mean, what's going on here? Where's the great God that I heard about? Where's this God who delivered? Where's this God that my parents told me was such a great Savior? And here I am being taken as a slave. I wanted you to know something because it's happening in our lives right now. The Babylonians, like no other nation, what they would do is they would change the names of their slaves or of their captives. You see, in this culture, if a man got a name or a child got a name, it meant something about their future. It was casting vision, if you will. It was a revelation of God. And what they would do is they would change it and instill their own thoughts, their own ideas. It's the same things happen in our world. Watch this. So Daniel means God is judge. They changed his name to Belshazzar. It means Bel is judge. Bel was the sun god of the Babylonians. They believed that the sun god controlled all the gods. You see what they're doing? They're trying to change Daniel's perspective, who Daniel was, as God being the supreme judge, now being called Belshazzar. They changed Hananiah's name. Hananiah means given of Jehovah. What a beautiful name he had. Given of God, given of Jehovah. They changed his name to Shadrach. Shadrach means command of Aku. Aku was the moon god of the Babylonians. You know the moon, man. And it was out. It's just out. We have this amazing winter moon right now. It's full. If you've seen it without the rain, it was earlier this week. The moon has no power of itself. It is simply an image of the true sun. It does do one thing, though. Tides in, tides out. Tides in, tides out. You see what they're doing? They're trying to get this young man, Hananiah, to not trust in the Lord, not believe in the Lord, but be over here in some delusionary thing. I love this one, though. And I'll just do one more. Mishael. You know what Mishael means? I love this name. I'm surprised you don't use it more. Yo, our God is the great God. There's no God like my God. That's what Mishael means. You know what Meshach means? There's no God like our God. And so I want to say to you tonight in this moment, our amazing God has already, before you and I were born, casted vision, has hope and dream for every one of us. Not just me. People meet me and go, oh, Dr. J, man, obviously the Lord's done something with you. Oh, no. Way before we ever met each other, before I was even born, he already had a dream for Jay LaRue. He already had a vision for Jay LaRue. I didn't really know what it was, but I know this, though. This world, they don't realize it, though. The spirit of the age was trying to erase who Jay LaRue was going to be, as they're doing with you, and try to take God's dream out of your life and put their own dream in it. I don't mind. Hey, listen, I'm for social media. I'm not against anything. But I realize, though, that if there's one thing this world does not want, is for you and I to be everything God has declared us to be. They want to bring in their own image, and I be, you know, at my age, everybody says to me, how old are you? And I tell them I'm going to be 64. They're like, dude, isn't time to retire, go live in some home somewhere? I think, what? I don't live in that world. I live in this world, this kingdom world. So here they go. They're taken back to Babylon. They can't even speak the language of the Babylonians. They're Hebrew. 20 years will go by. 20. They are now 33, 34, 35 years old. King Nebuchadnezzar is the greatest man on the face of the earth. He's feared by everyone. He has wealth, fame, and power. So the king was just sitting in his palace, and he decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to build a golden image. Yeah, I'm going to make it 90 feet tall, 9 feet in circumference. It's going to be nasty. I'm going to put it in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon, and I'm going to gather all our musicians, the trumpeters, the saxophonists, the drum, everybody, and I'm going to bring them together, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have all the nations within my nation bow to this thing. Yeah. And you know what I'm going to do, too? I'm going to put a fiery furnace there, too. If somebody doesn't bow, fried chicken. Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm going to do. Absolutely. We'll see. So he gathered all of his counselors and all of his rulers, and they summoned the entire nation. I want you to see this. This province of Babylon is an enormous area. They all came. There were Ethiopians, Egyptians, Philistines, Samaritans, Tyre. The Phoenicians were there. All of these nations had been gathered together, and Hebrews. Now, I know those other nations have a lot of gods, but I know this, though, that the Hebrews, the Jews, were never to bow to anything. I mean, Moses' law said, you bow to only one God. And they all gathered together. And in their own tongues, mostly the Chaldean tongue, they announced that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, has built this golden image. And everybody that is here is to bow down as soon as they hear the music. If not, you go into the fiery furnace. Well, man, everybody looked at that fiery furnace. No one wanted any part of that. So the music started, they bowed. Oh, the Egyptians had many gods, probably the most gods. They bowed. Ethiopians bowed. The ones of Tyre, Phoenicians, the Philistines, everybody bowed. Even the Jews. I mean, everyone's bowing. Nebuchadnezzar is just looking. You better believe it. You want to go in there? Yes, I thought so. All of a sudden, some of the Chaldean servants of his came and whispered in his ear, and he said, what? Go get them. So they went. They were going to get Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because the Chaldean servant told King Nebuchadnezzar that they didn't bow. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah, what's up? The king wants to see you. What's going on? You'll see. Yo, King Neb. What up? What up? What up? Oh, hey, you're bowing. Fiery furnace. Nasty king. What up, king? Golden image, sweet. What's the music? Sounds great, man. You should start a jazz quartet. I mean, so king, what's up? The king was angry. Puts his hand out. I mean, everybody in the world is watching. All the newscasters. Everybody's watching. The angelic, the demonic. Everybody's watching this. They amaze me because they have been taken from their homes as teenagers. They've been slaves for 20 years. I would think they would think, who cares about God? Who cares about what's going on? Does it really matter if I bow or not? Who's watching? That's what I would have thought. He says to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I was told you didn't bow. They just looked at him. I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to start up the music again. I know how it is, though, because you have friends. I have friends. I know some of their friends were probably snickering as they were bowing. Stupid. What are they trying to prove? Look at them. They really think there's something. They're going to go into the fire. Where's God anyways? Where's their parents? Why are we even here? It doesn't matter what I do. I'm just going to bow. Everybody's doing it. We might as well do it too. That's what most people do. That's what most people think. Not these three. These three are like you. He said, I'm going to start the music up, and I'm going to give you another chance. Chaldeans are stickered. I love their words. Listen. They said, young King Neb, dude, listen. I'll respect and everything, Nebuchadnezzar stopped me. He goes, and by the way, who is this God that'll deliver you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego just kind of stopped a little bit, looked back, and said, King, listen, golden image, I get it. I mean, everybody's bowing, but King, we're not bowing. But listen, I want to say this to you now. This God you're talking about, yeah, this God, he can deliver us. But I'm going to tell you this, though, King. Even if he doesn't, we won't bow. Man, are you kidding me? Who are these young people? At a moment like this? The king, I love our Bible. It's so fun to read it. His face gets distorted. You know, when your mother or father are really mad at you, it's like their face gets disfigured. Oh, all right, I'll do it. I mean, he got mad. He immediately said, turn up that fire 7 times hotter. I'm sure, again, like your friends or my friends, they're laughing. Oh my God, you're gonna stand for God in a time like this? You're gonna make a stance for the Lord who has, where is he? Where's he been for the 20 years you've been here? Where's he been? These guys, it didn't matter. So I want you to see this because our Bible is so descriptive. They bound them up. They tied them up. First thing they did was they tied their feet like this, you see? All three of them, they tied their feet. I want you to know something about the world that we're in. Our God loves the world, and our responsibility is to love that world too, love the people in that world. But I want you to know that they don't mind if Jay LaRue or you, we do our Christianity like this. Man, they don't want us to run it. Vault it. All of our might in it. Then they tied their hands like this. You see, even this world and people I know that they don't mind me if Jay LaRue or you do our Christianity a little bit like, we do a little bit like this and a little bit like this. Oh, they're afraid that I'm going to reach to the lowest person, to the highest person. They're afraid that we'll take our lives anywhere we think we need to go and we'll trust our God there. They're afraid of that. Then they bound their heads. I think this is amazing. You see, what this world wants is for you and I to be introspective. Oh, it's about me. I can't see. No. They're afraid that you're going to see, have vision, have dream. They're afraid that you're going to look at mountains and say, I can take that mountain. Look at valley and say, I'm not afraid of that valley. Have the vision of God. Behold the face of Jesus Christ. They fear that. So they pick them up. I love this part. I'm just thinking, now would be a good time to kind of like blow the heavens open and come down. I mean, they're carrying to the fire. They're not fighting. I'm still amazed. Everybody's laughing at them. The strongest of the men of the army are carrying them to the fire. I don't know how long it was. I've been over there. I would love to know. Was it 100 feet? Was it 1,000 feet? I mean, how long did it take? And they're bound like this, and they're coming closer. They got to hear it 7 times hotter. When they get there, it's so hot that it's going to disintegrate the men who throw them in. That's how hot this is. They get there and they throw them in. And the Bible will tell us in the 3rd chapter of Daniel that they're bound laying down. Nebuchadnezzar is going, anyone else? Huh? You? You? Yeah, I didn't think so. I'm the king. What I say goes. My word is my word. So the king, after a few minutes, looks in to see how the frying is going. He looks in, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are walking around the fire. Nebuchadnezzar will say, the fire has no power over them, and their bonds are all gone, and they're walking around, and there's another person in there
And he looks like the Son of God. Are you kidding me? I want to say to you, please understand this. This is a Christophany is what it is. It's like a theophany. It's when Jesus or God shows up before we ever know him. And this is Jesus coming to these three young men. It's the greatest revelation of God. Oh, as great as Moses, maybe more so. Here they are, willing to stand for their God in a time when no one cares. What is he doing with them? What might he do with us? So I love this. If you don't mind, I like to play like a little bit. Okay? I like using the room too. You all right? So this is how I'm. So they're in here walking around, talking to Jesus. What up? Hey, yeah. What's this? Fires. I mean, flames. And it's not touching them. See, I do a lot of stuff at secular colleges, which I love being on a secular college campus. I love it. But they'll always ask me, this is one of the stars, they go, excuse me, are you a doctor? Yeah, I got to do some class. I got a diploma. So you believe that book? I said, it's hard to believe. Hard to believe. Come on. Those boys thrown in a fire and they don't get burned. Are you going to believe that? I said, I know. Unbelievable, right? That's what I mean. It's unbelievable. I said, I know. Unbelievable. That's what I'm saying to you. It's unbelievable. I know. Unbelievable. Are you not hearing me? Oh, I'm hearing you. I want you to know this is where our God lives. This is what he is about. This is him. And so here's how I get it. So I got this thing. So Nebuchadnezzar begins to call him out. His voice changes, though. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. I got this image of this kind of thing, you know. They're inside the fire, and they just pop their head out of the furnace. Yo, Neb, sup? Hey, come on in. We want to introduce you to somebody. Come on, come on, come on. And he goes, no, come on, it's fine. Look at, no power. It won't bother, it won't touch you. No. Come on, we want to introduce you to this. Yeah, this one over here. It's the most amazing moment. They come out of the fire. King Nebuchadnezzar will be speaking. He's thinking it, watching it, and saying it. He'll say, even the smell of smoke is not on their clothing. They'll come out and he'll stand. Now, I want to say to you tonight, this king moments ago said, who is this God that'll deliver you from my hand? Just moments ago, he said, my word, the king's word, no one changes it. He just said that. These men come out and he stands before his nation, a nation that doesn't believe in their God, a nation that doesn't think he exists, a people who don't believe in him, even his own people. See, it's amazing to me. I would have thought the Lord would have been mad at the ones who are bowing. No, no. I don't want you to know. He's not mad at the ones who bow, but he's looking for somebody who won't. He's not upset with the ones who do. We would think, well, lightning should strike those. Oh, no, no, no. But he's looking with great passion. Who won't? So they come out, and the kings, they stop in front of them. No one could believe this. This is absolutely miraculous. The men who threw them in are disintegrated there. They're evaporated. It was so hot. He stands up, and he says this. I'm declaring this. There is no God that delivers like the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three have changed the word of the king. They're not saying it. Here's a man who didn't believe in their God, a man who thought their God was nothing. I often thought, what do we need to change our world? How do we affect kings and presidents and great men and leaders? How do we do it? I thought, well, we get a great army. Well, we need a great army. Well, we got great education. We got great education. That's important, too. But what really is it? How do these three young men change the face of a nation? The king's about to tell them. I want you to hear it. This is why the king's word has been changed. These three, listen to what he says. These three, first. These three trusted their God. Oh, man, my young friends, please hear me. What power that is. Not just me trusting him, us trusting him. Can you imagine? They trusted him. They didn't bow. Please, do what you know you're supposed to do. I don't care if everybody's doing it. I don't care if everybody's playing the wrong game, if everybody's doing the wrong thing, if people are doing what they're not supposed to do. Don't do it. You don't have to do it. Don't bow. Don't bow to anything. Trust him. And listen to this part. Incredible. He said, and I'm, you know, this is how I like my Bible. I'm reading it and I'm listening to it. I'm like, I'm in this movie, if you will. I'm in this dimension. I'm thinking, I'm blown away. I mean, fiery furnace, they're walking out. Here they are. I mean, who would have known? They didn't know. And then the Christophany, a theophany, Jesus shows up in it. He says this, he goes, they trusted him. This is the most amazing part. And they yielded their lives to their God. They just gave him their life. They didn't stop being human, playing games, enjoying life, making money, growing wealthy, having a life, even though they were there. In all of this, 20 years a slave, taken from your family, where's God been? How do you? They're amazing to me, but you're amazing to me. Sometimes I even people my age will say to me, Jay, see, there's real value in trusting God and yielding yourself, giving your life to Him, living for Him. What value is that? I just go, I said, let me tell you about three Virginians, three young men who in the midst of a moment of time that no one would trust their God, they would. And they would change the world's destiny. Nebuchadnezzar will finally stand up and say, I've got to declare to all the nations of the world, God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there is no God like him. His kingdom is everlasting. His might and reign is from generation to generation. I've got to declare his marvelous acts. This is a man who didn't believe, and now he's the one declaring the greatness of God. Three teenagers. I believe I'm talking to the same teenagers, to the same people. This day's Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Young men and young women destined to change the world. We're not angry with the world. We're here to worship God, love them, commit our lives to them, do everything we can, but we're all in with him. And we're not afraid of anything that comes. We're not afraid of some fire or some king. We're not doing it, and we're not bowing, no matter what anybody says. Watch and see what he will do. Stand up. Daniel chapter 3, it'd be good to read. So I want to spend a little time with you, maybe another 15 minutes, just for some of you personally, you know how it goes, I think. We're recording it back there, and so that the prophecies your parents can hear, and so on and so forth. But I just want to say this. I want to answer it too, so I'm not really here to talk to you. I'm here for us to talk about this, because I'm hearing it too. So I'm challenged this tonight. You know what it is, though? I'm not 35 or 17 or 15 or 13. I'm older. But the challenge comes to me just like this. You know what? I'm making a decision tonight. I'm going to trust him like I've never trusted him before. I'm going to trust him. And the second thing is, maybe some people think, well, Jay, it seems like your life is given him. Well, I want you to know tonight, I'm giving my life freshly to him. All of it. I want to see him do greater than that in our day, our world. In your generation, my generation, and the generations coming after you. You're setting the pace. I absolutely believe in you. No question about it. But there's someone who believes in you far more than me. Let us make that decision. Father, I just thank you for this time and this amazing story. It's so incredible that this would even be there. It's amazing. Only you would know that there would be a day here in 2020 that we refer to this story that is hundreds of years old. as if it was now. I thank you for that. Great grace upon all my young friends here tonight. And let them make the choice. Wow, man. I'm listed among those history makers. You are. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. How about you giving the Lord a hand for me, okay? Yeah. Sit back down. Great. Yeah, so I'm going to just start back here with your youth pastor, though, from here, if that's all right with you. So, you know, the Lord is, we're recording, everything's good, Pastor? Steve, sorry. The Lord is really going to begin to really freshly move upon you. It's just incredible dynamic now where God is just doing some amazing things anyway. So we're in this acceleration of many things. I've been speaking about them the whole weekend. Yesterday especially, and so on and so forth. But he's really going to come personally to you to begin to enlarge your spirit, enlarge your faith, to begin to believe for him. He really wants to enhance the word of God within you, especially that, but also the prophetic word, discerning of spirits, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. So you don't have to do so much like me. It may not be like this, but this comes in many ways that there's a hope and a belief that it's a reality and it's true. But he wants to begin putting his word in your mouth. I would be careful if I didn't think you were a submissive young lady. You would break rank, but I know that you're not. So I could say this to you because he wants to begin allowing you to see into their lives, understand in their lives. It's never to use or abuse. I don't look into someone's life and see into somebody's life to abuse it or to use it. I would never do that. It's for a reason. That's why. And so he wants to begin. And it's not a challenge. He's already going to begin stirring it up. It's one of the things that we could desire is to prophesy. It's the gift of prophecy. And so he wants to really begin to enhance that within you. Already he's weaving the pastoral garment upon you. And you're going to see in the next 5 years, especially personally, your life's going to have some real changes to it, but beautiful changes. Things that you would hope for and want and desire. Without me saying that, you know what I'm talking about. And so you're going to watch the Lord doing these things. And part of it, this is going to come because it's going to, as I love your youthfulness, and I don't think I lose it. Some people just don't like the way I am. They don't have, older people don't like it. They say, I don't know, I don't act like my age. Who wants to do that? I just say, okay, sorry. And, you know, you got to keep it down more. You should tuck your shirt. And I don't know what they're thinking. You know, I'd grow hair if I could, I would. But, you know, some things I just can't do. Tone it down, don't enjoy this so much, that have fun, God's awesome, I guess, anyways. So all these things, though, the Lord is really going to fine-tune in you, and not so much narrow it down, but make it a crystal clear. The silver and the gold, you're going to see the Lord invest into you, which is very, very important metals in regards to divinity, restoration, reconciliation, and all those things that silver is. I can't go over all of them with you. It'd be worth a study. But he's really investing those into you. And so there's always been a felt of the call to the ministry. You just didn't know how or how long. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't fret it. The Lord will make a way. And so let him create what he's wanting. Let him build what he's wanting. Let him create the woman that he's wanting, his daughter the way he wants her, the building of the vessel. You're going to have a sense in these next 5 years of some of his administration, especially at the potter, especially the vine dresser, and the sickler of the wheat on the threshing floor. These are just administrations of the Spirit of God through the Lord Jesus Christ that he did. And we have them in all of our lives, every dimension of glory, they're there. And so I know this is a little bit large for these guys, but you're getting what I'm saying to you. And so you're going to see the Lord do that. So don't be shocked. Don't be afraid. Sometimes you feel like I'm spinning like this. It's simply going around in a circle. No, I'm on the wheel. And so there's reasons he's doing all this stuff. So it'll just come and it'll be beautiful for you. And, it's really, the Lord's, he's just jacked, man, about you. He's just on the edge of his seat going, yay, girl. And there's going to come a fresh influence with some of your classmates, some of your friends, even back to your hometown and high school days, because some of them are trying to make decisions now. They're a little uncertain of what the Lord is doing, and he's kind of got you forerunning some things, got you out ahead of some things so that you can go back and you can share with them. Listen, you can trust him here. Don't move. Trust authority. You don't have to worry about that. And these things, don't bow. Don't change for some reason to ladder climb and all those different dimensions. But you're going to be a blessing. You're going to see that start to come. They're going to start calling you, especially the next 5 years. Really, through the end of this year especially, it'll start like that. Calling you, asking you, what should I do? What's going on? How are things here with you?
and then you're going to be able to help them in their decision making. Okay? Yeah, I want to start back up here again. Good. Yeah, what a great group here. You really are. Don't be nervous now, okay? Because then you guys get all nerved up, and then, you know, you get me nervous, and I'm at this age, but I still grow zit like on my forehead. I don't know what the story is with that. Who gets zits at 60 years old? Right? I mean, it's just not possible. You know, but it is, I know. Well, I don't really get them on my forehead. Sometimes right there on my cheek. That's disgusting. Then I got to put makeup on, and now I got this beige spot of makeup on my face. And then it rains, and you know what that does? It's on my white shirt now. So what do we got now? This is even swollen more. You guys don't know anything about that, do you? Yeah, all right. Yeah, okay. So, you know, and there's some things that I've always loved about you, many, many things. But there's always this place where you're going to be a little bit late in blooming. But you'll carry this when some of your other family members will start to get old. You'll have this youthfulness. So just always, that was always that way. You were going to have this, always this incredible joy. This outlook in life that is so positive that it's almost ridiculous, you know, like just, he's building you this way. And so there's always this joy, you know, in the book of Nehemiah, it's very strong that the joy of the Lord is my strength, but they're saying it at a difficult time. But it's true, though. Joy is an incredible strength, and he was building it in your life right from the beginning. There's this constant immersion of the joy, this growing of the joy, and it was to be that way. The other strengths that he has within you, really, is your care for people is just incredible, very much like a nurse, very much like that kind of caring person. Your parents are beautiful people, you know, but this is really unique with you. Some people could just walk by people and not have any care at all. Others, though, they're drawn to it, and you're very much like that, to encourage them. Not so much just your responsibility, it's just your nature. And so this could be a profession for you. You can go that way. If you go in anything that you do, I want to say a couple other things to you. If you don't go that way and you go to business or the fashion or you want to go to an educational place, you can do that too, because everything about you is to be building in the lives of people. That's why there's the teaching gift there. There's the nursing gift there. There's the ability to manage. There's the ability to govern. All the things are very rich within you. That's why it's a little bit of a late blooming. I don't know what I want to do. I don't really know which way the direction is. I'm feeling this. I'm feeling that. Because it's all these things combined. That's why. And so the Lord will instruct, and sometimes your decisions will change, and there'll be times when your major will adjust a little bit because you're going to see him involved in your life adding to this. But young lady, he's already marked you to be a young woman. Even in your placement in life and family was purposeful so that you always had others over you and you have someone under. And this is a place that Jesus will say to the centurion soldier, this man has great faith because he understands this thing. It's never easy to be under authority, and it's sometimes very difficult to be in authority because it's constant pressure. You see it this way? But the Lord has really sovereignly set you there so that it would have an effect on you, but the effect's been positive. And so this is really the beginning of you understanding that the Lord's hand is upon you. It doesn't mean that you have to be pastor. Sometimes people think, well, if I'm going to be godly and walk for God, then I got to do something like a pastor or a teacher or whatever they call this that I do. They have a lot of names for it. No, it's not that. These four men were just people. Esther was just a girl. Nehemiah was just a guy. There's more of them in this world-changing Bible than there is anyone else. There's a lot of them. Deborah's probably the only one that's got, she's a prophet, we know that. But it's incredible. And so please know the dream has not begun yet, nor the vision's not really clear, but the Lord will use your life in the lives of people. Even if you want to go fully into medicine, he's in it. He's in more things than you realize, and he'll make a way for you. And these are some things he'll let you'll choose, but he'll woo you in, family, counselors, it all happens. But you have to know, though, again, a little bit late, much of your strength of your life will be in your early 30s, later 30s, and as you get older, you're going to find this constant enlarging, constantly having more influence, where some people are big in their younger years and then fall down. You're just going to keep climbing like this, especially in strength, influence. A woman that men, younger men and older men, younger women, older men will trust because of the integrity, the understanding of life, the sensitivity toward people. And eventually, girl, you won't do it like me, though, but the Lord's going to cause you to be able to have a sense of what God is saying. this is an amazing thing to be able to know what he's thinking, know what he's saying, know what he's feeling. It's an honor for me, obviously, but there's a process to it. And so the Lord really wants to put his word in your mouth so that you can share it with people in a way that would be just very unique to you. Since your mom's womb, he's carefully formed you to the young lady that sits here today. That's fun, isn't it? Yeah. Listen. There's a lot of intelligent people in this room. They really are sharp. I'm not going to be able to get to everybody. I want to get to maybe 3, 4, 5. I can't really sit to see. But you really, you're off the charts intelligent. You really are. It's just not the beauty. You're obviously beautiful. All these guys, girls are beautiful in this room. The guys are studs. All of them. And sometimes, you know, you really are, and sometimes education's easy for you because of your intelligence, and there's times of a little bit of distraction, you know, because of it. But young lady, I want you to know that God is really set within your mind. Everything we have, he's built. For me, I graduated high school with a D-minus average, and I just thought, well, I'm brain dead, obviously. I don't like school, don't like teachers. Then I get this Jesus guy in me. And I'm first in my class in my undergrad, all through my grad school. I'm the first in my class the whole way through. And it was like, what happened? And I realized much it was me. I just had to get focused and get into it. So you have the strength that you could focus like that. And you grab things really, really simply. But the Lord's really visiting with you to strengthen your life to walk, in such a straight line. I'm not saying you're veering, so don't hear that. And even when your family hears that, it doesn't mean that. But you have such great ability, especially in your mind. You're born for the business world, the business community. The Lord will use you greatly out there. If you want to work for a company, you'll rise into the ranks very quickly because of it. Obviously, your school doesn't mean you have to go to business school, but whatever you decide to do, business is going to be your nature. You're just going to be fantastic at it. You're very good. If you want to do fashion industry, it's fine. It really is. That the Lord will open up for you if that's the way you want to go. Because some people just love fashion. But the discipline you're going to find, the Lord is going to start drawing you into a greater discipline with kingdom, natural life. That doesn't mean you're undisciplined. See, I never liked that. They said to me, well, you got to get more disciplined. I was like, what am I, lazy or something? Then I realized, no, I get it. I'm disciplined now, more so. You know why? It bears greater fruit. Produces more than I could believe. So every time I was challenged to become more disciplined in my life by him, I did upgrade. I need to read more. I need to fast some. When I see people, I need to make sure that I acknowledge them. Those are the disciplines. Because otherwise, I just walk by. Who cares? Read a little bit of Bible. Doesn't really matter. Oh, it did matter for me. It'll matter for you, because of the Lord's investment in your young life already. I'm telling you, young lady. You're going to be great. That's the Lord's intent. So, you're amazing. Were you playing up there? Or is that another girl? That was you. Yeah, great. Appreciate it. You really are. I've obviously seen and looked at a lot of young people, over the last probably almost 40 years now. And it always amazes me when I see someone or the Lord is the Lord's emotion or feeling for them or what he's saying is really great. But as soon as I came in the room, looked up there at you especially, it was like, wow, this young lady is so intelligent, so off the chart smart, ridiculously smart, and is absolutely in love with you. This is just me over here just kind of looking and thinking and pondering. But it's all his communication in a sense. But it's true, though. This is a genuine thing. The Lord has genuinely... It touched your heart, touched your spirit. And my sister, listen, music is going to be kind of a side thing for you. But you have the ability to go to the MD level, PhD level, at anything you want to do. It's there. And you're not this snobby, smart person. I appreciate that, just so you'll know. All my friends, all my smart people were snobby. Maybe because I couldn't, 2 + 2 came to 3 for me. I don't know why that happened. That might have been why they were like that toward me. But you really do. And so the Lord is going to really create. And I want you to know this. So sometimes in your life, it's going to feel a little tight and narrow. there's times even in my own life where I'm just thinking, why do I have to walk it so tight when some of my friends just kind of have it a little looser? They get to go out on Friday. They get to go do this. They get to do that. My life is consisting of fasting and this and that, and they're going to do their own thing. I've got to write. And so I used to frustrate me a little bit, but then I began to realize, though, that he's shaping, forming for his ultimate intention. So I chose that over some other liberty or some other freedom. So please know, though, when you feel like I just can't do what everybody else does, and I want to go here, but I can't because I've got to do this, or they won't let me, or everybody else gets to text in their bedroom, and they get to do these different things, or got a car already, and they can stay out as long as they want, as long as I know where they're, and you can't. Don't measure it. Just know, though, that the Lord's built things around you to keep your life focused and going in the right direction. Because, young lady, your name will be known by thousands and thousands and thousands of people. So if you want to, I still like you in the MD field, or if you want to be a college professor, or especially in science, a doctoral in understanding medicines and creating things, that's fine too. But that is really the strength and ability the Lord has really given you. So just, again, the most thing for you, though, is because sometimes it's going to feel like, man, I don't get to have any fun. Everybody else does. Remember this. Listen to it again. Keep it somewhere so that you can pull it out and just say, yeah, you know, that day was kind of cool. You know, I got a tight shirt, skinny jeans. You know, it's kind of fun that night and everything. And he said some cool stuff, but I don't really remember what he said, especially when it just feels like, man, I'm ready to get out of here. I just want to bust out. Don't. Okay? Beautiful voice. Precious, really. Young lady, listen, I want you to know that the Lord's already, in many ways, has favored you, and you're going to see him begin to work in your own home, in your own household, in the place that you live, because you're as tender as can be. I mean, I look at these three guys here, and I wonder, how do they survive? And I know a lot of young people in a lot of places, in tough places like the city of New York, Detroit, Miami, areas of Texas, areas of California that are tough, and they're growing up in a difficult situation. They're not always the best situations, or maybe it's just different. But it's amazing, though, how much the Lord is involved, and he will be there. He'll be the strength of things. He'll be the joy of things, and he'll make things happen that only he can make. Just like this. How does fire not burn somebody? I mean, are we talking about our God, y'all? Fire doesn't burn somebody? Who is this God? I'll tell you whose God it is. It's your God. And so you keep it right. You do what you know you should. Don't bow to anybody. If everybody's doing it, don't do it. You do what you know is right to do. And girl, the Lord will, if he has to level mountains for you to walk through them, he'll do it. If he has to raise every valley, anything, even if the enemy even considered setting traps for you, he himself go and turn those upside down to make sure that you walk straight and that you walk with everything you need. Trust him, girl. He's becoming your father. He's loving you like you're his daughter because you are, but there's going to be a sense of a father's love and a father's care. I mean, my dad was a good father, and we had a kind of a so-so relationship, but when I got this father, whoa, it was nothing I ever thought. Even now, even though I'm a grandfather, soon to be a great-grandfather and a father, I still feel the love as if I was a young boy because it's just incredible. And I want you to know, girl, his love for you is simply incredible. My words really can't describe the emotion I feel. Him for you. It's everybody in here. A man, you, he wants to make sure that you know. I've been on this side all the time. Let me see if I can do something over here. Yeah, we got a lot of good people over here. Yeah, you doing okay? Good girl. Yeah. So my friend here, I mean, you're one of the older ones, I guess, here. But it's all good though. Weren't you up here talking earlier? Yeah, that's right. And this is really good. You being here is really a good because you're modeling something for these young folk. And what's being modeled is the grace of God upon a man. Only the grace of God changes a person. It's not sickness, disease, struggling, suffering, home that's a wreck, things that are a mess. It's none of those things. For you and I, the grace of God comes upon us in every hard place, every difficult place. And he's able to build things out of nothing. My home, I can't talk about it much, but there's a lot of nothing in my home. He built something out of nothing. And my young friend, your life, the Lord's restoring it, rebuilding it, shaping it, setting up to be a young man of integrity, a young man of standard, a young man of faithfulness, a young man that is faithful to the task, a young man that is honest, sincere. All those things he's building within you. See, nobody has that in their DNA. Nobody has that in their lifeline. Nobody has those things. In my family's line, there's anger, cheating, lying, adultery, hateful, judgmental. That's my family. That's my mother's side, my father's side. And so I grew up like that. But then Jesus comes in, and he brings a whole nother lifeline. So now I'm being patterned more like him than any of that. And boy, you're right there. My parents are good people, but we can't help where we grew up. These are the decisions they've made all these years. My grandfathers, my great-grandfathers, I know all about the men in my family. I was going to be just like them. And the Lord comes and he creates something out of nothing. And dude, it's happening. So you can trust him. There will be some discipline. Don't be afraid of education, forging forward, being challenged. There's nothing you can't do with him. Nothing. Doesn't mean I'm going to go. I wouldn't suggest going to run for president. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't get extreme. But there's a lot more that you're going to see the Lord do in your life, because you're great with your hands. You're a great young businessman. You love to work, tinker like that. You like to do things like this. So he'll enlarge you and give you an integrity that bosses, business owners want you there. And he, in the midst, builds it up. I don't need to be, I can't be arrogant. Arrogance isn't a lot. I can't be hold my chin up like this, but I could be confident. Yeah, there's a confidence. You know what the confidence is? Listen. The writer to the Philippians said it this way. Be confident. I'm like, really? Confident in what? What? What he's begun in my life, your life, our lives, what he began, he will see it all the way to the end. I can be confident no matter what I go through, no matter what happens, no matter what my DNA is, no matter if I was an orphan or I had a great home or I was born with no home. Doesn't matter. In this kingdom with this God, I can be confident. What he begun, dude, he will see it to its end. Stand with me, please. Just to go back to the story just for a moment. I so want you. I want me. Tonight. To wherever my trust level was, I want to tonight trust him in a larger place. You're awesome, by the way. I didn't get to you, but next time for sure. To trust him like I've never trusted him before. Just trust him. I mean, they had no idea what was going to happen, but they trusted him. They wouldn't bow. They're worshiping him alone. And they yielded their lives to him. Wow. Bodies is what Nebuchadnezzar uses. So maybe tonight if you can, maybe we make a decision. Okay, I'm going to trust you. And tonight, I'm yours more than ever. I don't know what that means. I don't know what you're going to ask something of me. But I'm going to join Jay. Jay's going to join me. We together are going to trust him. We together are going to yield our lives to him. So, Father, I thank you for this great moment for me. I'm so thankful I get to be a part of these unbelievably incredible, history-making young people. I thank you for speaking, and you'll continue to speak. I know that. Pray great grace upon their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.